Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Menders Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Here we are again, Tuesday, time for another podcast. We are minus one dude, though. Chad is gone, away at PAX, Penny Arcade.
He's our man in the field.
Yep, he is on location.
Yep.
He's been sending us all sorts of pictures from there, looking really cool, a lot of cool stuff.
Are we going to have that on Steam group, or maybe just the website, probably, right?
We'll post it somewhere, and then we'll link it in the Steam group.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a ton of pictures from him.
What's funny is, like, he's working there, so he was there while it was closed down, so which is way better, because he went and got the, like, whatever picture he wanted. It was really cool. It's kind of being, like, at the theme park after it closed down or something, you know? He really, I think he got all the shots he wanted to, so our shots are better than their shots.
A lot of giant statues, a lot of big posters. I wonder what they do with all that stuff when they're done promoting all these games.
That shit was cool, though, right?
Yeah.
I said that if you got all that stuff and put it into a bat cave, you would automatically have a better cave than Batman with all that shit in it. For sure.
They had like a giant evolved monster, big brain from the Evil Within.
Yeah, the thing that I enjoyed most was the League of Legends stuff, actually. The little girl with the big teddy bear was really cool.
Yeah.
And the other guy, the raccoon with the bombs or whatever.
There was a cool looking alien pod, too. I can't remember what that was from.
Oh, Isolation.
Yeah.
Alien Isolation.
Right.
I would not be able to sleep with that thing in my room. I sound like the biggest bitch on this podcast because I sound like, I swear to God, guys, I'm the first one into a fight or like I'll fucking squash a bug with my, I'll eat bugs. Like none of that shit scares me, but the games for some reason get to me sometimes.
Should have been on Fear Factor.
I know.
But all this stuff happening at PAX, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of news. I guess there was a little bit of news, right? They made some announcements?
Yeah, there was a couple things. Saints Row, there's a new one coming out. It's called Gat Out of Hell, which is a play on words, but it's a terrible one. Like, not good at all. But the trailer did make me laugh. I actually giggled twice during it. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if there's nothing known except for what's on the trailer. We've looked for information. I don't even know if it's open world, just like the other ones were. But
well, I've never played a Saints Row game before. Have you?
Yeah. I've played three all the way through.
Okay, so you're a little familiar with the franchise.
Yeah. You know, it's Grand Theft Auto with not taking itself too. It's a campy version of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, they definitely go for comedy a lot more.
For sure,
and understanding.
There was a few times, dude, I really laughed at the third one. And there was another part where I thought it was amazing. So you pick your character and you can customize it anytime you want or however you want, whenever you want to. You could go into, they call it plastic surgery. And you go in there, you could turn yourself man, woman, whatever you want. But anyway, so I chose a guy and I chose a voice. And then I was driving. I guess you picked up from jail at the very beginning. And you start driving and they're shooting the shit just like two friends would that haven't seen each other for a while. And a Sublime song comes on the radio while they're talking and seamlessly, like just as if obviously it was planned, but it didn't seem planned. And that's what really struck me. They start singing together the Sublime song. And I'm like, man, I've done that with my friends so many fucking times. I was like, wow, it really struck a chord. Like, it's very rare that, you know, you get taken out of the game. You're like, fuck, that was cool. After that, there wasn't a lot of those. Yeah. It was the first 15 minutes, but still, it was so seamless.
Yeah, so nice. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So this game's coming out January 27th, 2015. It's a standalone release. This is not an expansion. This is like a full game. It's not Saints Row 5, I guess, but it's... It's a standalone game.
That's why I was saying it looks like an action shooter. It doesn't look like a Grand Theft Auto, you know?
Yeah.
To me, from what I saw.
Yeah.
You play as one character.
Well, they have the trailer up. I can't understand too much from that. They don't really give away a whole lot about the gameplay, but it looks like it is set in hell. So that could be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Fight the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So what else is this? Dragon Age Inquisition reveals multiplayer?
Yeah. So only reason I'm bringing this one up is because I'm so into this game. This is probably my most anticipated game. And we talked about last week how it's a, you know, if you want, you could play as a four player group that's kind of grid based if you want. So I feel like they're kind of going for Dragon Age. I mean, for Divinity. I feel like they're going for that, where you're kind of playing turn based, but everybody's controlling their own character. You can't play the, the way I understand it is you can't play the main storyline like this, but they're going to have three campaigns that you could play through with your friends, you know, up to four players and clear that. And then there's going to be DLC that releases even more things you could do with them. And they say that the DLC is going to be free. So sounds awesome to me. This is like, it was like multiplayer, cool. Campaigns at launch, even cooler. DLC for free. Yes, please. More, please. You know,
sounds like a good deal.
The only downside is you can't play through the main, as far as I understand, you can't play through the main storyline without it.
Oh, okay. So. And yet another game that I have not played, a franchise that I have not played at all, Dragon Age. You know, it's amazing. As many games as I do play, there are so many big titles like this that I haven't played.
And, you know, you get into a Mass Effect game, and one is very similar to two, and two is very similar to three. Like, they use the same things. Dragon Age, not so much, you know. The first one, and guys, I know you're tired of me saying, like, I fucking hate it too. I'm trying to stop saying it, so bear with me. You know what you're getting into with Mass Effect game? I really think that the Dragon Age games are very different from each other. The first one was kind of squad-based, and you could pause time. The second one was more action-oriented, and this third one is going to be more like Skyrim with four players. So, or four characters. So, besides the overall arcing story, I don't think there's a whole lot of synergy there. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they don't really connect to each other.
Yeah.
You could play any one out of the
series. I believe so, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for summing everything up in three words.
Okay, so Peggle 2, this is coming out on the Xbox?
Yeah, and they paid for an exclusive. And I'm not... Okay, I'm a big fan of Peggle. I fucking love it. Everybody knows it. But that's not why I brought this up. It's just I keep seeing these timed exclusives over and over. What do you think about them, Bobby? Like, obviously, they're shitty for PC gamers because we never... There's nobody to pay for an exclusive because we don't have a front man, right? Mm-hmm. Is Valve ever going to pay for an exclusive? Never. Why would they? So, what do you think of them? Obviously, it seems to be a trend and it's picking up. Do you think more people are going to be buying Xbox Ones because of things like this?
I don't think so. The only time I ever bought a console for a game was Guitar Hero many years ago. And that would probably never happen again for me. And I don't think that a lot of people do that. A lot of these companies, you know, Microsoft and Sony, it's like they're trying to hold these games hostage. And they want people to buy their system just to be able to play certain games. And I don't know. I don't know if that works. I don't understand console gamers very well. But for me, I'm not going to go out and buy a console game or a console just to play a game. If it's not on the PC, I'm not going to play it. And I'm okay with passing up great titles because of that.
Now, I think I've said it many times, but when Smash Brothers comes out, I'm probably going to try to convince my friends and we're going to try to get a system and four controllers going because that's such a, for me, it's a childhood and just, I've grown up with Smash Brothers. I love it. So that works there. But in these other cases, I feel like, you know, it's eventually going to come out on your system. 1 year isn't going to make the difference of somebody going out and buying a system unless they got tons of extra money, which most people don't.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we're pretty old, so, you know, 1 year is not a long time for us. I think we were talking about this the other day where I said, like, when I was 15 years old, I thought time was infinite. You know, we just had all the time in the world. Yeah, dude, like, a year, I can do that, no problem. I can wait a year.
Yeah, for sure. Like, both of our backlogs are ridiculous, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. So that's pretty much it from PAX right now. When Chad comes back, we'll be talking a lot more on this,
I'm sure.
He'll have a lot to say about it, and we'll have a lot of pictures and stuff to share with you as well.
Cool. Let's get into what we're playing.
All right, so you want to start it off?
Sure. I've been playing... I finally got into Mass Effect 3. I've been telling everybody it's been sitting there. First of all, Origin, annoying. Sorry. I don't like logging in. And
I don't mind it, but... don't know.
Here I had some trouble. So I had the synergy between Origin and Steam because I put I put Mass Effect 3 on Steam so that people know what I'm playing. And when I logged out of Mass Effect 3, Steam couldn't recognize it, and I had to restart my computer before it. So basically, it says Steam thinks that I've been playing for like 47 hours, and I only have 3 hours logged. So that's one of the many, many problems of having all these different overlays and stuff, different things tracking what you're doing. Yeah. But let me get into Mass Effect 3. I knew it was going to be... I thought it was going to be daunting because you know how many hours you have to put in. And I have a terrible memory. So I was thinking, I'm not going to remember how to fucking play this game. Booted it up. And as soon as I heard the black guy's voice, the he's the guy who does the Affleck commercials. And he is in that game. I think that's who that is. Anyway, I recognized the game and like all these memories started flooding back to me of 1 and 2. He's the, like, admiral, basically, that handles all the shit. So he's talking to you and stuff, and it just all came back to me all at once. Oh, right. So the Reapers, and I remember all the shit, and I put it all back together. It's kind of like when you smell something, it reminds you of something.
Yeah.
Audio can do the same thing, you know? You hear that song that reminds you. Oh, this guy's voice just brought me right back. Like, it was really cool. Obviously, it's gorgeous. Obviously, the story's really good. I mean, I think it's a really good thing that you can copy your games over, but I play them so far apart from each other that it's not really a big thing for me. I just made the same character. You get to choose between which girl you saved and which girl you banged, basically, right before you start. So, and I thought I picked the right one, but it wasn't the right one that I did, so it was flip-flopped, but whatever. It's fine. It wasn't that important to me because I don't really remember the intricacies of the development. What am I going to say? Obviously, it's a great game, and everybody should play it.
Great game, great series. Now, were you bothered by... You haven't beaten it yet, but you're familiar with the ending, right?
I know that a lot of people were upset with it, yeah.
Okay, but you don't know what happens?
I have no idea, no.
But you could probably speculate.
Well, the whole game is about you getting the entire universe, solar system, galaxy, ready for war against the Reapers. Yeah.
Well, I won't spoil anything for you, but...
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people had a problem with the ending. I didn't mind it so much. But okay. I played the games back-to-back-to-back, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it must be. Way better, right?
Cause it took forever, but it was definitely a good experience.
I'm only about 3 hours in. Am I going to see, like, Rax or Brax or whatever that guy's name? The
Rex?
Yeah, Rex. Am I going to see him and, all the... Jack... And all those other people?
I think you would have seen him by now. I don't know. I can't remember if he can die in the second one or not. I'm having a little trouble remembering all the details of that. But for me, Rex was in it all the way through. And I'm pretty sure you will see him again. And, a character that I did not like in 2 and then ended up being my favorite character in 3 was Morden. I can't remember his race, but he was like a scientist, weird alien-looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone says 2 is the best, but I think I enjoyed 3 the most. But I do have to say 2 is probably the better game.
Cool.
All right, so I'm up. We're going to do a back and forth on this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I will start with, I'll start with Stick It to the Man. I played this game, beat it, which is not saying a whole lot. The game is like 4 hours long, very short. It's a comedy puzzle platformer.
Comedy puzzle platformer.
Yeah, cool. Puzzle platformer got a lot of comedy in it. A specific type of comedy. It almost felt like a Nickelodeon cartoon. It's kind of, it almost has those nods to adult humor, but it's appropriate for kids as well.
Cool.
Kind of reminded me of maybe like Spike and Mike's, that kind of animation.
Mm.
Ren and Stimpy, that's a good analogy. It's also a sticker art style where everything's 2D. It's similar to Super Combo Man or Scribblenauts almost. Everything's 2D. The platforms are like made out of cardboard. You can even see the corrugated innards of it. It's if you look at gameplay of this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was short. Didn't overstay its welcome. Developer was Zoink. Never heard of them. Publisher Ripstone. Only thing notable that they've published was Knit Underground. But it got an 83 on Metascore, 98 on Steam. People really like this on Steam.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know it's on PS4 as well. Basically, the plot, you play a guy named Ray. he has a bizarre accident, and all of a sudden he has an invisible hand sticking out of his head that he can use to read minds.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
This game is bizarre. So you use this hand to read minds, and you can grab things out of people's thoughts, and basically you're taking these stickers and you're putting them in the places where they belong. You know, typical point-and-click adventure gameplay here. Not difficult at all to figure these things out. There are some parts where you're running from characters, too, so, you know, there's a little bit more action in some parts of it, but overall very casual, very easy. You know, I don't mind easy games. I feel bad calling them easy. That sounds like a bad thing, but I try to use the term casual more. You know, it's a preference. It's a matter of preference, really. If you're in the mood for something difficult, you can play a difficult game. If you want something casual, then you can play a casual game. Yeah. I don't fault a game for being easy. But, you know, it was good. I think it retails for $14.99.
That's steep for 4 hours of gameplay.
I mean, I got it in a Humble Bundle, and I would highly recommend getting it on sale or getting it in a bundle. That would probably be the only time it's worth it. You know, someone in, I think it was Jens in the Steam group, pointed out that a lot of games we've been talking about recently were from Humble Bundles.
Yeah, and I spoke to Jens, actually. He was enlightening me about Crusader Kings 2 and what he likes about it, because he's really good at that shit. So he enlightened me a little bit. Maybe I'll go back to it and from what he's told me.
Give it another shot?
Yeah, give it another shot. I haven't done this. Oh, we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I have anything else to say about this game, but, you know, good times. If it's still on the Humble Bundle by the time this episode is up, I'd grab it. It'll probably be on sale eventually, too. But I don't know. Do you feel like there's a rising trend of sticker art games? I feel like I'm noticing more of these.
Explain again to me what that is. Are you talking about, like, something that looks like South Park?
Yeah, it's 2D.
And it's layered on top of each other.
Yeah, and it's very obvious that it's 2D.
Right.
Yeah, like Stronauts or...
Would you say Guacamelee?
Not so much. I only say this because another game I recently picked up was Super Combo Man, and it's the same deal.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean...
Moving on. All
right, you're up.
Well, I don't know. Show me my list.
Okay.
We're going down the list, guys, so bear with us. Firefall. So... this was supposed to be my main thing that I was going to talk about this week and talk a lot about it. Chad and I have been playing it together. And like we say every week, if you're playing with your friend, it makes a game better. But he hates it and I like it. So I don't know if I should wait till next week to talk about it. I'm going to give you a brief overview of what it is and why you should get it. It's an MMO. It's anime art style. I believe it's by a Brazilian company. So this is kind of like their first foray into game making on a large scale. It plays pretty well. There are some glitches in it, but as far as early MMOs go, like, Chad's being very, very judgmental. Like, he wants it to be WoW on day one, on the first couple weeks, and it comes with growth. But what sets it apart for me is you're actually aiming. If you miss, you actually miss because you didn't aim correctly, as opposed to you missed because the numbers say that you miss. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's
more skill involved. Skill shots.
More skill shots. Yeah. So it's kind of a combination of WoW and Counter-Strike, I guess. It's a marriage of those two.
So it's got first-person shooter elements to it?
Yes. You do play in first-person. No, you play in third-person. But yeah, it's... the controls are basically first-person shooter.
Okay.
There's glaring problems with the game. Don't get me wrong. But overall, for a game, it's new, and this is their first foray into MMO, try the game out. It's free. Why not? It looks great. It plays well. There are some issues every once in a while. Sometimes you have to run too far. So, Bobby, what do you think of this? There's... a lot of running involved in between missions, as there always are in MMOs, right?
Yeah.
They sell. I mean, you could get them other ways, but they sell these things that basically it's a glider and it shoots you up in the air and you can cut down your travel time.
So this is a microtransaction. You're actually paying money for this.
There's other ways to get them.
Okay.
But yeah, you could buy infinite of them with microtransaction if you want to. So it's tricky, right? Like, did they make the game world bigger just so they could sell more of these gliders? And they don't even get you that far, you know?
Yeah, that I guess that's a possibility. That was a problem with WoW when it came out too, where you'd spend all this time running. You know, people got hooked because there was a good mixture of that downtime and also action. And, you know, it made the action pay off more because you had spent so much time just getting to that place. You know, it meant more. But since then, they've done a lot to mitigate that. You know, they put in flight paths. They've given you flying mounts. You don't dismount when you go in water anymore. All these things they've done to make the travel time so much quicker. Like, the ports are easier. You used to have to go find a mage to port somewhere.
I guess what I'm saying is, it really does feel like they're pushing you towards spending money. But we haven't spent any money, and I've had fun. And when you say action, you know, the time between action is mitigated because of, while the action itself is way better than WoW, in my opinion. The creature types are not varied. We've seen four, maybe, in like 10 hours of gameplay. But it doesn't seem, it doesn't really feel...
So you haven't reached a point yet, because a lot of times what happens for me is I play a game for a little while because it's fun, especially an MMO or a free-to-play game. I play it for a little while because it's fun, but then after a while, I'm playing just to grind XP or to get some sort of either achievement or item.
Right. Well, so it's tricky because there's two of us and we're having fun.
Okay.
So there's that, you know? Like I said, I'm awesome to hang out with, so you guys should hit me up if you want to play a game.
And some people have been hitting us up, too. We played a little bit with some people. I know someone hit us up for some Counter-Strike, but I don't think we had that installed.
Yeah, I don't own it. Anyway.
Oh, you don't have Counter-Strike? That's right.
No.
God, that's crazy.
Go ahead. Hey, no spoilers on this one, by the way.
Okay, no spoilers on... this is going to be hard. The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 5, the finale. All right.
No spoilers. Seriously, man.
No. I carefully thought about this and practiced this so how I was going to be able to talk about this without spoiling. Because this is the kind of game that you can't spoil.
You can't spoil because that's the meat.
Yeah, the value in this game is the story.
Like I like to say, is my bread and butter is meat and potatoes.
Yeah. It's like you're trying real hard to make that the podcast title. All right, so you guys know this is Telltale Games, dev and publisher. Length, the episodes are around 2 hours, and it's an adventure game. You can't even call these point and clicks anymore. 80 on Metacritic. Now, that's for the entire Season 2 of The Walking Dead. Steam, it's got 100%.
Jeez.
People love this game.
Wow.
So, you know the deal with this. It's very emotional, zombie apocalypse, all that. You know, real big focus on the characters here, making them memorable.
I love your... monotone, as you're saying. Yes, it's very emotional, and there's zombies killing people and eating their brains.
This is why I can't stream, because I got the emotional range of a rock. People tell me, like, oh, why don't you stream more? Because I'm not exciting to watch. Anyway, this is not a spoiler, but I don't think this is a spoiler. There are four different endings in this game, and they branch off. They fork at the very end. You make a few decisions, and that decides which ending that you get. So, of course, I watched all of them on YouTube after I finished the game myself.
No shame in that. I really don't think there's any shame in that.
Oh, no, not at all.
My favorite game of all time is Fallout 3. I watched all the other endings.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You want to know, like, what else is out there. And after I've played through the entire game and I've made my decisions and I've gotten my ending, then, you know, that chapter's complete, story done. Let's see what else is out there.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was surprised that they did that because the endings are very different. And I looked it up, and Comic-Con 2014, they did confirm Walking Dead Season 3 will be coming out. No details on it, but there will be a Season 3. And I don't know if they're just going to start up a new character or if they're going to continue this storyline, because depending on which ending you got, they would have to make four different games. Well, two different games, I guess.
Right, right.
Because some of them vary more than others.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an interesting choice. Am I doing a good job of being
way to be
vague?
Subtle about it, but anybody with two brain cells to rub together figures out what you just said.
No, I don't think so. I see where you're going, but...
Okay. Keep it at that.
All right. Dropping it. But overall, I don't know if the game was as strong as the first one. I mean, it's the second one. We've seen it before. We've had the emotional impact. We've been there, done that. And it's just not as strong the second time around. I felt like they did a good job just showing Clementine getting stronger, becoming a more independent and physically.
Unlike Lara Croft, right? becoming a woman and, you know, you fucking asshole.
Well, let's not start with Tomb Raider here. But they did a good job. Physically, she looks different in this game. She looks grown up. She acts more grown up. I feel like they did a fairly decent job of developing her character. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't think it was as good as the first one. And I'm totally over zombies, though. Season 3 does not appeal to me hardly
at all.
You're
supposed to be able to give a review with seeing through the zombies, man.
I know. It's hard to, though. There's
so many zombies.
So burnt out on this.
Like we said, zombie games are like zombies, right? Every time you finish one, two more pop up.
Yeah. It's just more and more. I mean, I will play season 3, but I'm more excited for new content from Telltale. I'm more excited for Borderlands and
Game of Thrones.
And I want to see what they do with that. I really like The Wolf Among Us a lot more, I got to say.
Cool.
All right, so that's a wrap on that. You're up.
Cool. So, sorry, guys. Every week it comes fucking up. I cannot stop playing Binding of Isaac. I'm addicted to it. So I thought maybe this week I would get into why I keep playing it. One, I'm really good at it. So even a bad run can become a long run. So just today, I was playing with, and Bobby was on Skype with me, and we're talking about podcast shit like that. And I'm playing, and two things that had never happened to me in that game happened to me. I mean, how often does that happen in a game that you've been playing 100 hours of? It's pretty rare. And so, you know, there's 300 items. They all do different things. You'll never have a playthrough that happens that is exactly the same. Because you're picking up these items, and they all have synergy, but you don't know how they're going to react with each other. 300 items. You don't know how they're... And sometimes you get these things that are so far apart, you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. Or like, how could they have already thought... How could the programmers know that somehow these two items were going to do this? But yeah, it was thought through, and it works. Like, the game never breaks or anything. I've had maybe one or two glitches, and... So basically, it's just, it's fresh. You know, I play through, right now I'm going through the challenges. I never even played them. 100 hours, I never even tried the challenges that are right before the start. So I'm playing those, having a great time. So it takes away a little bit of the randomness, and it starts you with powers, some power combination that you probably wouldn't have got on your own. But it gives you no new powers after that. So that's a lot of fun, seeing if I could beat the game with that. And just in general, it's something casual. You could jump in. If I die, I go, ugh. And then that's it. Like, I don't really care. If I lose in Smite after 45 minutes of trying super hard, I want to fucking kill somebody usually. It's a great game. I can't wait until Rebirth comes out. And I'll try to not bring it up next week.
I think that game has the most time per byte. Like, how many hours have you spent on that game?
Yeah, probably around 100.
100 hours, and that game is 83 megs.
Yeah.
So, I'll do the math later.
FTL, maybe. FTL is close, yeah.
Yeah, because FTL is a small game, and again, that's a... I think I've got 60 hours on that game. Oh, man. I don't know why I don't play that anymore.
Yeah, and especially now that there's an advanced edition with a new race and, like, some other stuff that happens.
Yeah, you know, you think I would have gone back just to check that stuff out, but I haven't yet.
I wanted to on the podcast. I never did, though.
Yeah.
So much shit going on.
Definitely. You know what had an update, too, was Awesome Knots, and I actually did download that today, and I'll probably check that out, maybe talk about it next week. But I do like that game, and they redid a few things and added more stuff, so pretty significant patch for them.
New characters?
I don't know if there's new characters. There's new skins. They redid a map, and they redid the way the abilities or the loadout screen is done. I haven't even played it yet, so I don't know exactly
what they've done. Just so you guys know, Awesome Knots is a 2D MOBA, which is a great concept.
3v3, super casual, great pickup game. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, so the only other thing I want to mention here is I was playing some Chaos on Deponia recently. I'm trying to... That's the second one in the Deponia trilogy. Trying to finish that off. Getting real sick of point-and-click adventure games lately. But I had a really interesting experience with this. There was a puzzle that I was stumped at and had a very interesting solution. So the character had to remember a secret knock, and he would hear it walk across to another location, and he was supposed to repeat it to gain entry to this area. And he kept forgetting it and saying, "Ah, this music is too loud that they keep playing." I spent forever trying to figure this out, so eventually I committed the cardinal sin and looked it up.
You asshole, man.
I know, but hey.
Well, it's on the programmers.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before. My biggest fear, or my biggest annoyance, really, with point-and-click adventure games is running into glitches and just spending half an hour trying to do something that is just glitched and not even realizing that you're just running around.
Or even more than half an hour, honestly.
Yeah, really. So I'm not as opposed to that as I once was. But anyway, I looked it up, and guess what you had to do? You had to go into the settings, turn down the music setting all the way to the zero, and then go and hear the knock, remember it, walk to the other location.
Oh, because the knocks were overlaid on the music, and you couldn't really hear them.
Yeah, because the character was saying, oh, this music is too loud. I can't remember the knock. You know, it keeps throwing off my rhythm.
The developers wanted you to go into the settings and lower the volume.
Turn down the music.
Crazy.
I know. I haven't seen that before. I mean, I give them props for doing that, but I would have never figured that out.
It's breaking the third wall.
Yeah, fourth wall.
Sorry. And the fifth. Fuck it. Let's get in there.
It's breaking all the walls. All right, it wasn't that funny, man. Come on.
I wasn't expecting it. Sorry.
All right, so I think that's it for me. We did play a little bit of TF2 last night. I had a hell of a time just getting it running because of these modifications I had made for the Oculus Rift.
Yep, same here.
Eventually got that squared away, but by the time I was able to get in, you had to go. Yeah. So I ended up playing with a little bit with one of our listeners, Fisty. We were on opposite sides for a little
while.
Great
name, by the way. I like Fisty.
It's somewhat suggestive. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. TF2 is always fun, but every time I jump back into it, I'm just like, what the hell is going on? What are these laser beams? Why are there parachuting soldiers?
Dude, I really want you to get because you're such a good medic. I want you to get the medic pack that you modify the shield that you get depending on. So there's a medic where you can modify the heal beam, mm-hmm. and you can modify it to mitigate bullets, explosions, or there's something else, fire or something like that. So you have to actively be switching between these, but you make them almost invincible to those things when they're dealing with it. So if you are, because you're a smart guy and you're a good medic, so if you're on top of it, you can make whoever it is pretty invincible to whatever it is.
How is this better than an Uber, though?
It's not. Because, okay, say somebody is shooting bullets and you have the bullet shield on. He's taking, I think it's 75% mitigation. So it might as well be Ubered, right?
Okay, but why wouldn't you just get an Uber is what I'm saying and make you invincible?
Because you don't have to build it.
Oh, you don't?
No, okay. It's all the time. All
right.
The whole time you're healing anybody. You could.
I'm not even aware of these items.
Yeah.
God.
You've been out too long, man. And it's such a good game.
And every time I go back, I'm like, this is lots of fun for 3 hours, and then I'm gone again.
Yeah.
And it's like I can't. I got people on my friends list that have put 4,000 hours into that game.
Here's another thing. So people have talked about like TF3. Is there a reason for it? I really don't feel that they could do anything that they haven't done already.
Yeah. And I feel like TF2 is a constant work in progress. They keep updating it. They keep changing it.
Or progress, either way.
Yeah. Prognosis. Okay. Well, I think that's it for me as far as what I've been playing. What are you going to be playing this next week?
First of all, I'm going to be playing on my brand new rig.
That's right.
Door number 3. Bobby came over early before the podcast and he helped me build this thing. I've never built a PC from scratch. He walked me through it like a little baby. And, you know, he's super knowledgeable about all this stuff. Like over and over, I was like, how do you know about this? And how do you know about that? And it's a lot easier than you might think. Now, if you go and buy all the parts and you do it yourself, you don't have a Bobby hovering over you that's telling you what order to do these things and why to do them in these things. And especially when we booted it up and everything worked and we're booting up the Windows and all that, he knew how to download all the programs you're going to need all at once from give him a shout out?
Oh, Bobby? Yeah. Ninite.com. N-I-N-I-T-E.
Yeah.
If you work with computers and you need to constantly download things like Java, not Flash, but Shockwave, Adobe Air, Steam, OpenOffice, like, you know, all those programs, just go to Ninite.com. You can check the box on all these. I'm really starting to sound like an advertisement here.
No, I know. And download them all at once. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, downloads and
install. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah, super convenient, so much quicker. It also works for updating, too. So, like, if I'm going to update stuff on someone's computer, I just go to that website. And the reason they don't have Flash is actually Adobe's fault. It's not theirs, but it is a great site.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big time saver.
And, you know, and I got all the drivers, and we got it up and running. Finally, we got to the very most important thing that we wanted to do was get Steam, get 3D Mark, and check out the scores. We were a little underwhelmed. Bobby, throw out the specs on what I have. I don't know what I bought.
Okay, so the graphics card is a GTX 760. The processor is an i7-3770K. We didn't overclock it any. 16 gigs of memory at 2133, and I don't. That's really all that really matters.
I mean, the mother,
yeah,
yeah. So I was at 3300, I believe, beforehand, and it got me up to 5800. But we were expecting somewhere around 7000.
Yeah, so I was guessing 7000.
Maybe when I get some more fans, we can overclock it.
Yeah, we definitely need a little. A few more fans in there, especially because it gets hot in this place, man. I don't know how you do it.
I am literally sweating right now as we speak.
Yeah, but still almost doubled, so you're looking a little bit better there. And you can finally run some stuff with Skyrim, right?
Yeah, so that's what I'll be playing next week. I don't know if I will be playing it so much as modding it, because there's probably 6 to 7 hours of modding ahead of me now. I know, maybe now because I know what I'm doing, it'll take a lot less, but downloading and all that stuff, I'll probably be playing Binding of Isaac as all these things install and stuff. You know, it's much like downloading apps for something. So you're downloading them, then you install them, make sure they work and stuff. That is the number one game that I'm looking forward to. I really hope that I could play Real Vision EMB on this, on Skyrim now. Probably won't be able to, not on the extreme version, but I'll go for maybe a mid-range. And, yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to playing the most. I'm hoping that Mass Effect looks a little better, but that's what I'm, you know, looking forward to.
Yeah, see, I don't know about Mass Effect. That I don't really consider that really high-end graphics, but it still looks nice.
So am I going to stop hearing how I shouldn't talk about graphics because I don't have any?
Yeah, maybe I'll give you a pass on that. What is Mass Effect 3? Oh, Unreal 3 engine. Unreal 3. Good.
It's a good-looking game.
Yeah, oh, definitely good. All right, I don't know what I'm going to be playing next week. I really want to start crossing things off the list. I have started a lot of games recently and have not finished a lot of games.
If you're not inspired to finish something, though, should you?
I don't know. See, I'm a bit of a completionist, so I feel like I should, but I always want to have new stuff to talk about on the podcast, and yeah, like, I got so many games, it's like I feel like I got to sample and move on, so I don't know. I did pick up, Steam was having a sale, I didn't get Rise of Nations. I was so close to getting it, but I'm like, realistically, I'm not going to play this game for a while, even though I hear that's an amazing game. I picked up the first three or four Call of Duties. 1, 2, United Offensive. There may have been another one in there. Been trying to grab those for a while. Got them on the sale. Maybe I'll go back to that because I've been playing a lot of these point-and-click casual games, and I need to get...
Time for some headshots.
Yeah, time for headshots. So I need something, yeah, a little faster paced.
Cool.
So yeah, nothing definite, but we'll see next week.
Want to get some news?
Yep.
Cool.
Let's do it.
So let's go with biggest headline, I suppose, this week is Amazon bought Twitch for $1 billion, right?
Yeah, you know, I like how the news was originally that Google was going to buy Twitch.
I think that was, you know, and I reported on that. Like,
yeah,
that,
I thought that was official.
Yeah, for sure. And
for
you know
billion.
What that was there was a lot of negotiations is basically what that was, you know? Maybe Twitch just put that out there. To rise the price of what other
so
people
So Amazon got it for $30 million less.
Right, right.
Undercut Google. Yeah, but this is, I think, the most important quote here in this article. This article is on PC Gamer, actually. if you want to read more on it. But Twitch's CEO said, we're keeping most everything the same.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people freak out when they hear like one thing, one company buying something, and they think like all these things are going to change. I don't think it's going to change at all.
He actually cited that we have creative control still. That's amazing.
Yeah.
If you got acquired and you have creative control, that's really, really good.
Well, obviously Twitch is doing something right. This is why they're so popular and people want to buy them out. You know, let them do their thing. Let them continue to do that. You know, if anything, I'm hoping like maybe their support will get better because Amazon has great customer service.
This is a weird thought. I just had it right now. Do you think that like, obviously they have enough money. Could Google buy Steam? They could, right?
Maybe. I mean, Steam is a, or Valve is a privately owned company, but.
Yeah, they, yeah. I mean, they could. They have the money for it. That's crazy. I never really thought about it.
Yeah. You know, one quick note on Amazon. It doesn't really have to do with gaming. Tomorrow, I'm going to be trying out Amazon Fresh. You heard of that?
No. Oh, the food.
Yeah, the food thing where they deliver it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Cool.
All right, where'd my notes go?
Okay. I don't know, but so I want to get into this more. Amazon, they're getting into gaming? Like, what's going on? They want to, you know, I see that they price match. Have you seen this? That they price match, like, Steam or whatever sale that you can find. They'll price match it. So, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not opposed to them getting into it. I mean, they...
Competition breeds better prices for everybody, right?
Yeah. And they've done pretty well with, like, their video services. Like, they have a few shows that are on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. And
it's funny because, like, okay, so if you think of a few companies, if I think of Walmart, I go, okay, bad company. I don't like it. Don't want to support it. And then you go to Google and you're like, good company. I really want to support it. Amazon, I have zero feelings about. They're really good at being anonymous about how, I don't know. There's no information on Amazon. I don't know who owns it. It's weird, right? As far as these really gigantic companies, there's not really any media about them.
Well, maybe I'm not remembering this right, but according to my memory, I think Amazon, they used to only sell books. Wasn't that how it was? Like, they started out
originally, I think, yeah.
Yeah, originally they just sold books.
They're just making a lot of good choices, man.
Yeah, and then sooner or later, like, Amazon is where I buy, like, all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I use it even more than eBay.
Yep. So, either they or Google is going to be our... Robot overlord, so.
Buy stock now.
Choose now.
All right. Which one of these do you want to hit next?
Five Nights at Freddy, just because it's something new, really. I guess you told me today that how much gameplay is in there?
I read somewhere, and I don't know how accurate this is, that it's like 15 minutes of gameplay. Not very long, which is why I didn't buy it. It's on sale right now, humblebundle.com or the Humble Store. For $250, half price.
I mean, why wouldn't you pick it up? Especially 80% from PC Gamer, giving 80%. So that's, you know, they're the gold standard.
Yeah. And a lot of people have really been praising this game. And from what I understand, like, do you know what the game is like?
Yeah. Do you want me to explain it?
Yeah. Why don't you explain it?
Sure. So you're a security guard watching over, let's call it a Chuck E. Cheese, because that's what it is. It's basically a Chuck E. Cheese. Are they nationwide? Is everybody going to know what we're talking about?
I don't know.
Okay, fuck it. Let me explain what a Chuck E. Cheese is. Mechanical giant robots that like sing and dance at night, right? During the day.
Yeah, there you
go. For pizza parties and shit like that. So the security guard is watching over the whole place, but these things come alive at night. And they come and they will come into your office and kill you. That's what they're trying to do. And there's like five of them, I think. And they're supposed to look cute. But of course, under low lighting, in the right angles, they look fucking terrifying. And you never see them actually moving because you're checking these different cameras. Now, the whole game basically is a resource management game because you have a power source. And running the metal doors that blocks them from your office takes so much energy. Using the cameras takes so much energy. Running the lights is energy, and it really doesn't come back all that fast or ever. So you have limited resources, and you have to use them correctly to not get eaten by a bunch of giant robot puppets. Now, I think what really makes this spooky are the angles of these cameras and the overall creepiness of being killed by puppets, robot puppets that look fucking creepy as shit.
Yeah, it looks super creepy.
Yeah.
And I feel like video...
Wait. Did you not buy it because of that?
No. I love this. And that's actually the point I was just going to make, is that I think video games are really the only place that I can really get scared.
Oh, anymore. Yeah. Movies never do.
Yeah, movies yet. Don't even faze me. And I love horror movies. And I've seen like all the classics, but... they just don't faze you after a while, but video games, they can totally freak me out still.
Now, I've always had this theory, and I've told people this many times, and I really do think the thing that makes me good at video games, not good as, okay, compare me to other gamers, I might not be that good, but compare me to the average person, it's immersion. I put myself in the character, and that's why I'm so susceptible to being scared. The reason that I get scared when something jumps out at me is because I'm actually the Doom guy for that second that thing jumps out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, I know that I'm not that dude. Obviously. But I put myself in that, and that's why I enjoy games so much more, because the immersion value is so high. Yeah, and that's just a mental thing. You're either born with it or you're not, I think.
Yeah, and I think that comes with playing more games. People who game more tend to be able to do that more than others.
Or people that are immersive by nature game more.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way it could play out.
So I probably will grab Freddy's for $250. It's $250. What the hell?
And I'll play it off your account because I'll have $250.
There we go.
I broke the bank on this new rig.
All right, so what else we got? Valve is being sued?
Yeah, apparently there's a thing in Valve's thing about returns. And they said that, okay, here's how we do it, unless the governing body in that area does it differently. And in this case, Australia does do it differently. And they haven't adhered to the Australian rules. Now, I don't know why they're just outright suing them. I don't know if there was these, just send out some, you know, give them a warning first or something like, hey, you're not adhering to our rules. But that's how it sounds to me. It'll probably be settled or whatever, but I thought it was interesting. Australia has some really good return rules, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what it says? Let's see, Valve is being sued by an Australian consumer watchdog. I should have mentioned that in the title earlier, but... Yeah, they got a lot of strange stuff going on down there. I know games are a lot more expensive. Hardware is more expensive in that area. And they have a lot stricter rules on content.
On content,
as well.
Yeah. It seems like... Okay, they're definitely going the wrong route with the way they deal with video games. But at least video games are on the ballot. Like over here, it seems like video games never get brought up. You know what I'm saying? At least it's in the lexicon. People are talking about it. People know that there's laws about video games that aren't attached to movies. Over here, it just seems like, oh, video games are like movies, and we'll just go by the same laws or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Not quite.
It just seems like legislation about video games happen a lot more in Australia than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
And at least that means that they're on the radar, as opposed to here, where you really, I mean, a politician brings up video games very rarely or anywhere else.
Well, I feel like it's a lot more restrictive in other countries, though. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. Like, I see what you're saying. It's being brought up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a,
not
there's
in
a
good
dialogue.
Light.
Yeah, but it's not, never
so,
good.
Let me put it to you this way. And I think it was Europe, somewhere in Europe. You can't show pre-rendered graphics in your... I've brought this up so many times, but you can't show them in your advertisement for the game. It's amazing. Like, that is for sure something that should be here in the United States, but because of capitalism or whatever it is, they just do it. You know, yeah. It's false advertising,
okay.
Basically.
Well, in that case, that is a benefit, yes.
Yeah.
But I think as far as content goes, like, we're a lot more free out here in the States because we... You know, we get all the blood and guts and naked ladies that we want, but, you know, you get the German version or the Australian censored version of a game and quite a different story.
Yep.
All right.
How do you think about Germans feel about killing Nazis in all these games that people make?
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
What? Killing Nazis?
Yeah.
In a game?
No, not
Nazis
in a game.
Period.
Yeah, yeah.
Period. Oh, got you. Yeah. Who knows? Hey, if you're German, hit us up.
Let us know. Okay, Eve developer closes San Francisco office. Two key executives leave.
So, they're not doing as well as we thought they were doing. But they were on the top 10 list, you know? They were like 6th or 7th.
Well, you know what? This is a misleading title, though, because I read a little bit into this article. And it has to do with, I'm pulling it up now, but it has to do with a different game. Eve Online, I think, is okay. This is on GameSpot, by the way, if you want to read more on it.
I swear I read a lot of it, and it seemed to me...
Yeah, in the wake of the cancellation of the World of Darkness MMO and year-over-year financial struggles, developer CCP Games has closed its San Francisco office and parted ways with two senior execs. Okay, so year-over-year financial struggles, maybe there is other problems. And
so it's about World of Darkness, whatever that is.
Yeah, some new MMO they were trying to get off the ground just didn't take.
Oh,
and
I see.
I think that's where this came from. So I think it might be a little presumptuous to assume that EVE Online is in any sort of trouble. I think this might be isolated just to that particular MMO. So, for all you EVE fans, I don't think that'll be a big problem. All right, what do we got next?
I don't know, Bobby. What do we have next?
Talking to myself over here. Logitech.
Here's more important podcasts.
Dude, you got three of them over here, so you wouldn't have to get up.
I know. Are we going to leave all this in? I think we're
not. I don't know. Maybe we will.
Breaking down the eighth wall.
Let's see. Logitech is making a game, and it needs your ideas.
Yeah, I actually participated in this. So they're making... It's not like a huge game or a AAA title or anything. All they're doing, basically, is they're making a tower defense game. Very simple, it seems like. But all of the input... that's a big word. The major decisions are going to gamers. So you can just go to the website, which is probably logitech.com/social. And from there, you can choose a lot of... Okay, so the first one was... Where is this tower defense game going to be? Is it going to be on a grid? Is it going to be open space? Or is it going to be set path? And so the second one was style of play field. So, oh, wait, what was the first one?
The first one was environment.
Sorry, my bad. So it's already over. You can't even vote on this anymore. Computer interior one. The ones that didn't work was noir, biological, organic, or... environmental elements. So I wasn't around for that one. I probably would have picked biological personally. Bobby, what would you have picked?
I don't know. Computer interior, I guess. That sounds cool. I'm okay with that one.
So the next one is like, if you've played a lot of these tower defense games, you've played all three of these. There's non-traditional grid, which is your, I can't think of one, super tower defense.
What are you talking about? Non-traditional grid?
Yeah, the hexagonal one.
The hexagonal one. Oh.
There's a game that's really popular, and it's on Steam, and it's called like Defense Grid. I think it's Defense Grid. Anyway, yeah. So there's that one. Open field, so you're talking more like field runners, and then fixed path, which is almost all the other ones.
Go home, dinosaurs.
There you go. That'll work.
I like that game.
I picked non-traditional, but it's very far behind. Anyway, I think it's kind of fun, a little social experiment. Anytime somebody's trying something new that brings the public into it, kind of that whole thing with Goddess. Remember that thing of chipping away at that block? I don't know if that game is even out yet, but I thought it was great. Social experiments online, as long as it's free, great. Why not? People will do it.
I couldn't imagine them doing this with a AAA title, though. And I feel like that's the only case it would matter. I mean, this seems cool, but at the same time, it's like, well, we're just going to end up with a game that's like all the others and not really going to make any waves.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, they'll probably be on stage 3, and they'll be talking about what kind of towers to play on. So as long as my one thing in these kind of games are, as long as they're upgradable, that for me, that makes the game fun.
Yeah.
And if you can have branching ways to upgrade them, that's even better. So archery to long archery to like, you from there you go to cannons or whatever, and the other side something else. that's what, I don't know, for why, for some reason, that was the best tower defense games I've played.
Hmm. Stage 4 is Tidal. I wonder if you get to enter your own or if they're going to give you something to choose from.
So weird, right?
Because that could go really wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Logitech doing that. Check out their site for more on that. One other thing that I wanted to mention like a week or two ago, you know, it was big news. Robin Williams committed suicide. I did not know this. Apparently, he was a really big gamer.
I had no idea. You know, backlash on this and the overall sentiment on this was like huge. Yeah. Everyone was talking about, oh, it's so sad and this and that. I mean, I don't think I'm an asshole, but the way I thought it is like he hasn't made anything good in years, so we don't really need him anymore.
Right, but the stuff that he made
was great.
Was good enough.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. And he was just, you know, a cool dude. But he is going to be existing in World of Warcraft and Warlords of Draenor. I guess they're putting him in some way or another. I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but
he'll I think I saw a screenshot. He's like a farmer or something that you could talk to.
Apparently he did play that game a lot. Like I said, he was a gamer. His daughter was named Zelda after The Legend of Zelda. So.
Yeah, and once you said that, I was like, oh, okay, all this makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I'm okay with this. But when I had read this before I knew he was a gamer, then I didn't really care,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes it a lot better.
Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, RIP, our dubs. All right, I think that's it for news.
Cool.
Anything else that we want to mention? Let's see, I'll make a quick note here. The weekly giveaway is still happening. Check out the announcement section for that. Also, if you're listening right now and you hit me up for a game, ask for the special menu or the special list. I'm holding the good games off the posted list for those who are actually tuning in.
Very smart.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some good ones.
What's the code word?
Like, just ask for the special list. The special list. Wink, wink. You know? I don't know. Give me some sort of signal. But, you know, some good ones on there. Whatever, like, the top choices are. I think, like, Jazz Punk is still on there. Might still have Fez. Lucius, which I talked about a few weeks ago.
The Swapper?
The Swapper
Huge.
Is on there. Yeah.
That's
and
really
someone
good.
posted a discussion about that game, too. And I think it's kind of funny because one of our very early podcasts back in December, I talked about that game. And then maybe five months later, you played it and brought it up. And now someone's bringing it up in our Steam discussion group. It's an awesome game and just kind of slid under the rug.
Yeah.
So
it should have done a lot better than it did. But a puzzle platformer, you know, how much weight can you put on it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's about it this week. I think we did all right without Chad.
I think we did better without Chad. let me do my little Chad impression. So, like, you know, so there's, like, and then there you go.
No, I don't think that was Chad at all. Around this time in the podcast, this is exactly when Chad would be like, so, Bobby, you want to do your spiel?
You want to do your spiel?
Yep.
I like that word, spiel.
And I will do my spiel right now. Check us out at dlgaming.net. Email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Check out our YouTube channel, dlgaming. And
dot
our
net, actually.
Oh, dot D-O-T net.
No. YouTube is dlgaming.net.
Oh, the actual period in there.
Yeah.
Oh, because we linked it to our website.
Right.
Yeah, okay, cool. And our Twitter, dlgaming.dot net.
Yep.
And yeah, our Steam group, dlgaming. Feel free to hit us up on Steam.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right. Aren't you going to say your tits thing?
Oh, titties.